Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Pink and Blue Xbox podcast.
Hello everyone, my name is Aaron, gamertag PG Monkey.
And I am Katie, FluffyDragon86.
Hello to everyone, especially those listening through their Xbox One via the Cast app, and we'll talk about that later. Hello everybody.
Hello.
It was a little bit weird and cool in equal measure to hear our voices coming out of our Xbox One. But it's a thing, so yay!
Probably could have done it before, just not via an app.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know. I because Xbox One uses Bing, we're not on Bing, so it's been difficult to find us in the past. But you know,
it's a Bing thing.
It's a Bing thing.
Only people with children under three would know that.
Yeah. In this episode, we talk about the Xbox One update. We also talk The Crew, Super Mega Baseball, the predictability about deals of gold, and Brexit and its impact on video gaming? So, should we start with the big one then? Well, the big one, according to Microsoft, is the Xbox One update. Let's do the list. We've got Cortana.
Yeah.
We're stuck with that because, obviously, we can't have Siri.
No, but this is the Windows version, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Windows equivalent.
Is she any good?
Yeah, I think so. She thought your name was Harry, which was funny.
Yeah, on a weekend. In terms of, is she picking up voice quite well? I mean, I've used it a couple of times.
She seems to understand what I say, but then I speak proper English.
Right, proper English.
Proper English.
the only thing I've got really to go by is how well or how badly the Kinect picked up voices in terms of voice recognition. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling that if you've got a hint of an accent, Cortana will struggle also.
No, Cortana's, I mean, if they're basing it off of the things Cortana's already been used on, i.e. phones and stuff, if they use all the data they've collected from that, she should be fine.
Right.
Because, you know, she's been on a lot of British phones for a long time, so there should be a lot of British accents.
What if it's Scottish?
And she's used to it. Scottish is British.
So to pick up Scots, okay?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not Scottish, so I wouldn't know. But
I'm going to try a Scottish accent.
I don't know about a fake Scottish accent, because she might just say, stop faking it.
I thought it was pretty good when we asked where people were.
Yeah, what's Aaron doing?
Aaron's
in the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's David doing? David's answering the call of duty. And I thought, is that a number one or a number two? You know, could be taken a couple of ways there.
Yeah, but no, pretty cool. I liked it.
Yeah, join party as well you can do
with
Cortana. That was good.
Which is handy if you're in the middle of a game and you don't want to, like, come out and fiddle about with party chat and what have you. You can just tell Cortana to do it for you.
Yeah. I think it's pretty sweet. I'm just a little bit iffy about how well Cortana will understand me. I mean, I speak in okay now because I'm on the podcast and I've got to project my voice. In my normal voice, I'm quite a mumbly
guy. You're a mumbler, yeah.
So
I'm often saying, what? What?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Cortana's going to do the same.
What? Speak English, boy.
What did you say, mumblehead? So is it meant to learn off you or something?
I think so. Yeah? I think if you've got it turned on to collect data, it will.
Okay. Ooh, I don't like doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind for things like this, voice recognition, because I think it's only going to benefit from things like this. Same as, you know, texting apps and stuff. They get used to the way you text and words you use and what have you. I don't mind sending data for things like that. It's when it's, you know, all these bug fixes and things. I don't like doing that. So it just ends up sending data constantly.
True enough. We now have background music. And we'll soon have apps to actually make background music.
Yeah, to actually use it. Cause at the moment, we've just got a CD player.
CD player. And, of course, we have the Cast app. Well, which we're on.
Yeah.
So we've tried that out. Can you run through how people do that? Because I got a little bit confused. how to use the Cast app and play them in-game as well.
Yeah, so basically you launch the Cast app on your Xbox One.
Right.
Go search for a podcast you want to listen to. Choose, you know, you can create a playlist of several different ones if you want, or just all of the pink and blue Xbox podcasts.
If you like, there are 16 of them available, 17 including this one.
Yeah, so you can choose all of them and put them in a playlist if you like. Set it to play, then come out to your home screen without quitting the app.
That was the difference.
That was, yeah, because you automatically quit everything when you come out, don't you?
Yeah.
So you come out and quit, and they said, no, you can't do that. So you come out to your home screen, don't quit, just launch whatever you want to play, your game, whatever.
Yeah.
And it will automatically go into your snap bar. Not the snap bar, the sidebar. The sidebar where all your friends lists are and your messages and all that. It'll automatically go there while you're launching your game. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it. Just play your game. You know, if you want to skip, go into your sidebar. And you can press skip into the next podcast if that one was boring.
It doesn't snap, though, does it? Like traditional apps.
No, so it's not a snapped app.
Yeah.
That's what confused me at first, because I thought it must be in the snap list, you know, where you can find YouTube and Cortana and all the rest of the apps. It's not in there. Maybe it'll be in there later.
But we're soon to get Pandora. I'm
not a big fan of Pandora,
but, you know, it's something. And iHeartRadio, which I don't actually know.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've never used it.
It's not Heart Radio, is it?
No.
Okay. We've also got more PC integration. Now, they spoke heavily at this about on E3 about how Windows and Xbox and everything is merging all together. So to back that up, in the latest update on the Xbox One, popular PC games are now showing up on your Xbox Live hubs and feeds, and they have their own gaming hubs. The Xbox and Windows Store is going to be more converged, bearing in mind that you've got that Play Anywhere thing coming in now. So that is more of the direction that they want to go in as well. Any opinions on that?
I wish we had a PC. Do
you wish we had a
make
PC?
Make use of it.
Well, yeah, I kind of do. But
or at least a decent gaming laptop would be cool.
Yeah.
With one of the new controllers that have Bluetooth enabled.
Yeah, I
so
mean,
so you can use a controller on your laptop or your
PC. To take advantage of this, because
it is a really good thing. And if you've got a PC or a laptop or you're looking to get one, then, you know, it's a really great move for Windows, I think.
There has been an improvement on the Xbox One store in terms of searching and categorising, which is something that I was bemoaning several podcasts before, that it was all too cluttered and together and it just looked horrible. Now they split that out a little bit more, and it includes reviews, which I know is going to go badly wrong.
Yeah, just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it happened on, it was Sky, wasn't it? On the Sky app.
On the Sky Go app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone started doing false or stupid reviews.
Yeah.
And everyone kept on copying. So you never actually got a proper opinion about what anything was on the Sky app. It was all there for humour and ridicule, really.
Like trolling the Sky app.
Yeah, bless them.
But in a funny way, it never hurt anyone. It's just annoying when you want to see what a film was actually like.
There's also been an improvement to your game collection as well, so it's all kind of on one screen. You can see what's ready to queue, what's ready to update, all on one screen. So that's quite good if you got, I don't know, if you got lots of games or...
It's quite easy to find everything now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't that difficult before, but it's just nicer having it all in one place.
Yeah, that's true.
I think.
There's also language region independence.
Yeah, we didn't know this was a thing, did we?
I thought basically if you took your Xbox to another country, it would still work...
In your language.
In your language. Yeah. Or you could choose what language it would be in. Apparently, that wasn't a thing. So if you
makes
would,
no sense.
If you would take your Xbox to, I don't know, Tunisia or something, it would come out in Tunisian and not English.
Yeah, even though you had it set to English, it would start speaking Tunisian.
I didn't even realise that even existed.
So now you can choose which country you're in and choose the set language.
Yeah,
as a separate thing. Which wouldn't automatically choose your the language of wherever you are.
Yeah, so it's good for...
It's common sense.
It's good for overseas people. It's good for people in, you know, that are in the services.
People that travel around a lot.
Take their console with them. It's a good idea. There's a Facebook friend finder.
So if I added my Facebook account to my Xbox and linked them together, then it would probably only tell people that have also linked their Xbox to their Facebook.
You need both parties doing the linking, otherwise it's not going to work.
So your friends that you can't find on Xbox, that you know are on Xbox, probably haven't linked their Xbox.
Yeah.
So that's probably why.
So you can't actually properly stalk your ex-girlfriend that you know's got an Xbox.
Is that what you've been doing?
I'm just saying. As an example.
Not unless she links her Facebook to her Xbox.
Exactly.
No, you can't stalk your ex.
You can't tell what she's been up to. but there will be people that will be thinking, oh, I could do that. I could, like, you know, hook up and try and get party chat going again and see. No. You can't do that unless she's linked.
Unless
she's linked as well. And lastly, there's been overhauls on activity feeds and sharing capabilities. The activity feeds you might find now, I mean, you can muck about with them and change the settings, but basically your activity feed is more full of stuff because people are basically, whenever you get an achievement, whenever you make a video, even if you're playing a game, their activity feed will actually show up now on your activity feed, unless you change things around. Sharing-wise, I think you can share to Twitter straight away now. That's good. Facebook also, I think, I don't know. Certainly you can do it with Twitter.
We need to mess around with that. We haven't really looked into that.
But yeah, it's just basically more of a functionality thing coming in with sharing clips and screenshots.
That was one thing you complained about before, wasn't it? There wasn't enough in your feed. Like,
yes.
You'd go to your feed and either it just didn't add anything new or nobody was doing anything new.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many friends I've got, probably about 40, but I didn't see that many things going on.
Yeah.
And it was always kind of empty, but now it's gone the other way. Like all the games that I play and because of all the people that are playing, it's just full up with junk.
Which is good. Really. If you're bored, you can go through and see what people are up to.
Yeah. I do like the activity feed. I think it's kind of interesting.
I used to like it on my phone. I used to go through and just have a look, see what people are up to on my phone through the activity feed. You can watch people's clips on there and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. But I just think now it's, I mean, I've yet to change the settings, but now at the moment my activity feed has gone from very little to, whoa, you know, just way too much.
Yeah, you can't get through it all.
TMI. So, yeah.
Cold chiplets has gone to the bathroom. Yeah.
So let's talk some games then. We'll start with one that we've been playing a heck of a lot, and that's The Crew.
Yeah.
So I didn't give The Crew much of a chance when it first came out, to be honest with you. And I've worked out the reason why, and it's because it's infinitely better when you're actually playing in a crew with someone else, rather than just a solo thing.
Which is what it was hyped up to be in the first place.
It was.
So it makes sense that's why you didn't get enough out of it, because you were playing by yourself.
I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy it, I just thought it was just meh, you know, and it ended up going back to the store. But as it came out with Games of Gold, obviously, it meant that everybody you knew could go get it. It's been more pleasurable playing around with you in a crew. It's been immensely different from my first play. It's been really, really good being your wingman, being your goose to your maverick. It's been really good. For those people under 30, that's a Top Gun joke.
Yeah.
And a spoiler alert, Goose dies. Goose dies, Katie. Goose dies.
Do you know how long it has been since I watched Top Gun?
Yeah, just a whole lot better being in a crew. I mean, that sounds stupid to say as well, because that's, like you say, that's what it was all about.
That's what it was hyped up to be. And when it first was announced, we were really excited for it.
Yep.
And thought, this is going to be great, you know. And then you played it by yourself.
Because I had to, because we only had one copy.
Yeah. And didn't really get much out of it. And like you say...
You did the same, though.
I didn't play it by myself.
You didn't play it by yourself? Okay.
I didn't play it at all by myself, because I thought, there's no point. Without a crew, there's no point.
Yeah.
So like you say, we've got a lot out of it the last couple of weeks.
Because of Games of Gold and it being free. And, yeah.
And we've got a good crew. You and my mum.
We've got a three-way going on with your mum. Yeah, that's a bit weird saying that. Strange.
You don't have to put it like that.
The storyline is a bit trite and cliched.
I don't even listen to the storyline.
Yeah, we kind of skip through much
of that. I've got the voices on mute on the,
have you?
In the audio okay. settings, so I can see the subtitles, but I don't read them. I just go on to the next bit and see what I'm doing next.
Yeah, but the storyline aside, but there are quite a few missions in that. The factions are interesting, PvP lobbies obviously are pretty good. The collectibles are all there, so there's plenty to do. It's probably about 50-60 hours worth of gameplay easy.
Yeah.
With your friends as well.
And we spent a lot of time just going around doing collectibles, didn't we? Without playing missions or races or anything, just collecting stuff. And that was fun, because we'd make a race out of it.
Yeah, so you can get there fast.
Cool. And going around all the racetracks, driving to each racetrack. First one, do laps, a winner.
Something stupid. Like you can make a game out of the game without using
what they've given you.
Yeah, you can just make things up. So, yeah.
So we'd each have a different start point on the map, race to a certain racetrack, and say the first one to get there to do a lap is the winner. Or we did one where we raced to every racetrack, didn't we?
We did, yeah. That got slightly confusing.
Yeah, so the first one to get to the racetrack had to do 3 laps. The next one had to do 2 laps, and the next person had to do 1 lap.
Yeah,
then we'd all race to the next track and do the same thing until we'd finished all the racetracks.
That was fun. We've learned the geography of America quite well.
Yeah, even though it's not the right geography of America.
It's roughly right. It's okay. Yeah,
it's based on America. It's based on a true story. It's not quite all there, though.
I picked up Super Mega Baseball the other day because the deals were gold. It was half price, I think, £8. It's actually rather good, surprisingly so, because it looks like a cartoony kind. Do you remember that Wii Sports Baseball?
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
It kind of looks like that. Very cartoony graphics, very
cutesy
pie kind of animations.
Yeah, a little bit more detail to it, but
quite humorous.
Yeah.
But underneath, scratch under the surface, and it's actually a really detailed baseball sim. I don't know whether all the cartoony graphics, does it any good? Because you think, it just looks like Wii Sports. If you look past that, or even welcome that, underneath it, it's actually a really, really detailed game. Having a lot of fun with it so far. And it's got this scaling system, which is really interesting, which basically scales. It's got a difficulty scaling from 0 to 100. So you can have 100 different settings of difficulty. Whereas normally, you would just get
easy, medium, hard,
or whatever. Most you'll get 5 or 6. But this has got 100, which is just crazy. I've just tried them all.
Obviously.
But yeah, it's really good. So go check it out if you get the chance. Talking of deals of gold. Are they getting too predictable, do you think?
Yeah.
Off the back of that Ultimate Game Sale, where they had like 250-odd deals going on, I did notice that there was quite a lot of familiarity going on.
A lot of them, the majority of which, had been released as a deal previously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had the Easter deal.
And we didn't want it then, so why would we want it now?
Oh, yeah. Well, they had the Easter deal. That they have usual deals of gold every week. Major Nelson does the highlights and releases the information. Forza 6, for example, which is Microsoft's own game, has been featured in a deal 9 times this year.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That's quite a lot. Star Wars Battlefront, 7 times. EA and 2K games and Ubisoft games and everyone like this, you know, all the big devs, they've had multiple discount structures going on with deals of gold. So yeah, that would suggest that it's easier for them just to block copy discounts off of their large range of games. And it's very rarely that unique deals come up or that a lot of indie deals come up at once, you know. And I wish they just move it around a little bit more. It's a little bit...
They're bound to make more money if they put more things on sale.
Well, yeah, they will.
They keep putting the same things in the same deals with the same amount of money taken off it or whatever. People didn't want it before, so why are they going to want it now all of a sudden? Like, bring up some other games that haven't been in deals.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, that's on sale now. Oh, I might grab that while it's on offer. if you keep putting Forza 6 on sale every week, it's like, well, it'll be on deal next week.
Yeah, so
if I want it, I'll get it next
time. Familiarity breeds contempt. It's very true, and it's very true of this. And it's like, well, because in Ultimate Game Sale, I think there was like two deals that I looked at, and I thought, I've seen these before. Like, I was close to getting F1 2015 70% off, but then it was 70% off the last time. It was 70% off the time
before
that.
Yeah, so you think, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll get it another time.
I'll just get, you know, or I'll wait for a new one, you know, whatever. Yeah. And the same with Trackmania Turbo, it was like 50% off. But, like, it was the same deal, whatever discount it was the same deal as it was before. And I just thought, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know? If they're reorganising and rejigging the store, at the same time, they should really reorganise and rejig the deals of gold as well.
It just makes more sense to me that if something's on offer, then it should be, you know, a one-time offer.
Yeah.
Or even a couple of times that year, but not like, what is it, 9 times in 6 months?
That would suggest that Forza 6 has been discounted once every 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, so it makes more sense to me that you would put something up in an offer that's not been on offer before and everyone would rush to buy it. Oh, quick, that's got 50% off, quick, let's go buy it. You know, they might not do that again.
That one that I've just spoken about, Super Mega Baseball, I was aware of it before. I thought at £16, I thought it was a little bit too high for me. But £8, I went, shit,
yeah,
I'll
have a bit
of that.
Let's give it a go, yeah.
Yeah, but it's rare that kind of deal strikes me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not a typical gamer. I mean, I'm kind of stingy, so it's...
You do put thought into what you're spending money on because, you know, we haven't got money to just throw around. So it is more likely that you would pick something up that's not been an offer before.
Yeah.
And not just grab something just for the sake of it.
I mean, they need to put more indies on there. They need to make more interesting deals, not keep on doing the same EA Sports stuff and 2K Sports stuff and, you know, just get a bit more variation. That's what I'm looking for.
I mean,
for.
If you're going to put that stuff on offer every 3 weeks, like you say, just leave it at that price. Don't say it's an offer price. Just leave it at that price. Because it's quite clear that that's what it's worth.
Brexit then, that happened. We're going to be talking about what might be the case with its impact on video gaming. I stress might because I ain't no financial expert.
No, Katie, these are just well-educated guesses.
What happened then? Let's take a little look back in the history.
Well, we exited, didn't we?
We exited, yeah, we're gone, we left.
Packed our bags and
I ain't
left.
Coming home. So, back in its... the Tories were running for election a couple of years back. In their manifesto, they promised to hold an EU referendum by the end of 2017. And they were confident that they would get that win, and it basically bit them in the arse and backfired.
It did, yeah.
Yeah. In the immediate aftermath of Brexit, as it was come to know, the Leave side won, and we are stepping out of the EU. The pound slumped by 11% immediately after that
immediately,
decision.
Immediately, yeah.
And in the wake of it all, as we just said, Cameron done one.
Had a hissy fit.
Gone. Yeah.
Threw his toys out the pram and left.
In the meantime, new Prime Minister Theresa May has stepped in, and she's announced that there won't be an official Brexit until at least 2017, which leaves us in a bit of a state of a
limbo
situation. Now, currently... the pound jolly old pound continues to struggle versus the dollar and the euro and pretty much everything else.
Everything.
So, as an example, last August you could get $1.55 for the pound. This August you can only get $1.32. Right? That's a 15% drop. Yeah. And similarly with the euro, €1.36 in August 2015. That's now down to €1.18 this year. And that's a 13% drop. And it'll be similar with currencies all around. How does it affect prices in video gaming? So there's obviously a couple of things here. You've got prices of games and software, prices of hardware and accessories. Now, a struggling pound shouldn't have any effect on software. Hardware, on the other hand, is a little bit more tight when it comes to margin. So my feeling is that hardware is going to get more expensive.
Yeah, I agree.
When the pound does struggle, electronics do tend to soar because we don't make our own.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we import them from everywhere else.
Yeah, so we've also got to consider that there's going to be a budget soon. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, yeah. It's going to be fierce, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll drop certain things because they have to.
Yeah.
Austerity and all this shit they keep on coming out with.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the video game industry has a tax relief system at the moment, coming in 2014. And it's actually quite a good deal. The reason why we mention this is because if they get rid of this tax relief or they change it in any way, it's going to make it harder for the future. It's, you know, people are just going to bugger off and do other things elsewhere.
Yeah,
we're going to lose people. Yeah, so that's another thing as well. Brexit may affect the freedom of movement for employees. A developer in the UK will have anything between one and thousands of employees. Not all of them will be of British citizenship.
You can't even say it.
What's going to happen when Brexit does happen? And, you know, we're striking deals with European countries and we say, right, OK, well, you're not coming in because you're Scandinavian. You're not coming in because you're Spanish. Oh, you're Irish. Yeah, we did a good deal with you. You can come in. So,
yeah, this,
you know,
could be massive.
Yeah.
It could affect everybody. So, or it could change very little.
Yeah, we just don't know. Until these deals are struck, until this Brexit button is actually pushed, we ain't got a clue. And it's like, well, we don't really know, so therefore investment, for example, if you're an investor coming into UK, you
yeah.
can't think, oh, in 5 years' time, most of your foreign employees might not be allowed to work for you.
Yeah. Just don't know.
Yeah. It's like going into an interview and saying, getting asked a question, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? And you turning around and going, I don't know.
I'm going to be an independent island.
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. You know, I could be anywhere. And the interviewer will go, get out of my office.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you have no plan.
Yeah.
Leave. Think about your future.
And attuned to that, of course, lack of security.
Yeah.
Employees want security. It's basically it's a fundamental thing about working anywhere.
Yeah.
Is how secure
are you? Like you said, that's always a question in an interview. Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
And if you say I don't know, that's I don't know.
And the interviewee has every right to turn back and say, where are you going to be in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
Are you going to be still in business?
You're still
in 5 years'
time? Still going to be my manager? Are you still going to be here? What's going to happen with you?
Yeah. People want that question answered.
Yeah.
And it's like, well.
And it doesn't matter what you say in any of these situations, as long as you have an answer, as long as you've thought about the future, whether you're, you know, the government or going for that job in the shop on the corner, it doesn't matter. You just have to have thought about the next 5 years.
Yeah. But anyway, it's all up in the air. I hope for the video game industry in the UK that everything goes swimmingly and we continue to do a great job and, you know, and there are systems in place that allow us to do that.
Talk about the fact that you've been watching the Olympics all day.
It has just started.
Yeah, but
there's no official Olympic game.
All day.
Do you remember last time we had London 2012?
Yeah, it was the Olympics game.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well, it was shit, but it was actually quite
fun
to play. Yeah,
but while the Olympics are on, we don't mind playing them.
Yeah. You're not going to play them at Christmas, are
no.
you? You're not going to play them while Jingle Bells is going on in the background. But There is
not
no...
unless you were a character in the game.
Yeah. But there is no official Olympic console game, apart from that silly Mario versus Sonic one on the Nintendo.
Is there?
Yeah. There's one for
the
that.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's on, obviously, the Wii.
The Wii, yeah.
There isn't an Xbox, PlayStation, PC equivalent, as far as I'm aware. Oh. Otherwise, it would have appeared in the store.
You usually buy them.
Yeah.
Because we're sad like that.
Well, it's the Olympic thing. It gets everyone involved. Particularly last time round in 2012, when we catapulted the Queen out of a bloody helicopter.
Amazing. Our Queen's up for anything.
Yeah. But that automatically said to me, right, I'm going to buy our Olympic game now.
Yeah.
If the Queen is
just
doing
in
that...
in case there's one of them...
It could be a quick time event, but the Queen jumps out of a helicopter. If you miss mashing X, you got a dead flat Queen on the ground.
That would make a good game, actually.
It would. Kill a Queen.
Kill a Queen.
Kill a Queen. We're going to be off now. Thank you ever so much for listening to this episode. You can check us out on Twitter. Come meet us at PinkandBlue360. We're also on Facebook. You can come subscribe on iTunes. We're on most podcast apps. We're on the Xbox One now. Don't forget, we're in Cast. Go search Pink and Blue, and you can listen to us whilst you're playing your games.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. Man on, if you're playing FIFA 17. Man on.
I don't understand what that means.
Man on.
Yeah.
Is someone coming.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think you just say someone coming.
Because Manon's more punchier.
All right, then.
So, yeah, come check us out on Cast. And that's basically it. We're pretty much in every single decent podcast app you can get now. So
and the rubbish ones.
And the rubbish ones as well, of course. We'll catch you next time for episode 52. For now, happy gaming, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.